This is Miss Confederate, and I have decided to bring you a new song today, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. I don't want anyone to get hung up when I talk about this topic on the fact that I'm speaking on, about the Confederacy, because this is larger than just that issue, although there is part of that involved, but mainly, this is a different type of issue, and I hope you will share this podcast around with anyone you think might want to hear it. I want to talk today about the topic being a electric vehicle production facility to be built. North Carolina's Governor Roy Cooper is at it again. The most liberal Marxist-promoting governor in the history of the state of North Carolina has made a deal that is impacting the lives of a number of North Carolina citizens and will impact your own in some way if you're in this area. It won't impact yours directly, but down the line it probably is going to, and definitely is in terms of money spent for this economic development package, which is what it is. This is, in fact, because of this business deal, there are going to be 27 homes, 5 businesses, and a church that are going to be forcefully evicted from this, from where they now reside in this situation. And it's a land grab, actually, in many respects. It is a land grab, and these people who are involved will be pushed out of their habitations, pushed off their land. Their buildings will be torn down in the name of a falsely constructed eminent domain. You may have heard of that law, which allows the government to come in and take property from people, supposedly. This clause that is going to be used to force them off their property. The project in question states that it is the largest economic development project in the history of the state of North Carolina, and that is because of the total number of dollars to be gifted to this incoming business. And this is an unprecedented amount of money. That business is a Vietnamese-owned business called VinFast Corporation. V-I-N-F-A-S-T. Isn't that interesting? VIN, like VIN numbers. Which announced around April the 1st of this year that it will be building a large electric vehicle manufacturing plant to be located southeast of the state capital of Raleigh, not far from UNC Chapel Hill, which is home of the most liberal horde at the base of Lake Jordan is where it will be located, and in the Triangle Innovation Point, which appears to be, though I've never seen or heard of it before, a dream-envisioned business. Look it up on the Internet. A dream-envisioned business and research park that certain state leaders have concocted and created from their fancies for that area. Just looking at it, it's, I think, I don't know how many acres it supposedly is, 2,150 acres. It may become a second Research Triangle park type park. There's already one well-known on the other side of Raleigh, sort of northwest of Raleigh, on the road that goes to Durham, where is located the Great Duke University. This Research Triangle Park that's already there is very famous in the United States. It's famous. It's been there for a number of years. So this may be envisioned as a second type research park. I wouldn't doubt it. While hundreds of textile plants in the Gaston, Lincoln, Rutherford County areas, for example, are closed down as those jobs move to Southeast Asia because of lax tariff restrictions as they were dropped in the United States. They used to be high in the 50s and 60s to protect workers' jobs here in factories. The people who make less money than most people, especially in the textile industry, but yet they did have a job. Those jobs were moved largely to Southeast Asia, Pakistan, Mexico over the past 20 years, and the largest factory in North Carolina was raised. Cannon Mills, which was close to Concord, nearly overnight and replaced with a high-end research type facility, university-based complex. That left multiple thousands of those factory workers jobless. At the same time, while tobacco plants like Philip Morris, which north of Charlotte, and others in the state were shuttered too, that had to do with legal battles, but yet that's a huge loss of jobs and industry in the state for the common workers. Raleigh has now decided to expand its high-paying job base and create jobs for liberal Marxist university students in the area where many reside and where they run our state, it now appears. And to further back this up, just in the city of Charlotte, they spent roughly $130 million in the past few years to extend the light rail mass transit system to the UNC Charlotte University area. By the way, there's a small research park there too. From downtown, which is a 9.3-mile requirement of track through business properties that they had to work it out in order to build the tracks. Plus, they put up 11 new stations and 3,100 parking spaces were added so that people could be transported to the university or back and forth. In Concord, which is conveniently between Charlotte and Raleigh on the oldest state interstate, I-85, they replaced Cannon Mills, as I mentioned, with a university research facility. This also is north of UNC Charlotte. In Raleigh, they create a second research business area convenient to colleges. Which is now going to build electric SUVs for their graduates and liberal lawmakers to drive, it appears. The local newspaper called the Chatham Journal reported that only 3% of North Carolinians now own electric vehicles, and only 12.8% of North Carolina people think that they may buy one down the road. So it's not exactly like electric vehicles at this particular time are popular. the amount of money being poured into this project is incredible, and it shows how far Governor Cooper and his Democratic backers are willing to go. Here is the basis of what they are going to be given. Financial support of the project includes a transformative class job development investment grant, UDIG, extending the grant's period beyond the program's standard 12-year time horizon up to 30 years. So this Vietnamese VinFast's grant could provide the company $316.1 million paid over 32 years if the company meets its performance targets over those years. North Carolina Community Colleges will provide $38 million in customized training support. The Golden Leaf Foundation, that's tobacco, interesting. What's that got to do with electric cars? Is expected to provide $50 million. Chatham County will provide over $400 million in incentives, the county itself. So now we're close to a million just looking at what we've seen already. I mean a billion. Pending approval by the Board of Commissioners. The North Carolina General Assembly, here we go, the state, is expected to appropriate $450 million. So there's now we're up to $1.5 billion to be used for site and road improvements and additional water and sewer infrastructure. Interesting. Wow. $1.5 billion. And the plan is just now off the table. Wow. Nicely done. This is a huge economic event for the state and for that area. On the opposite side of the project are the citizens who are being asked to leave their homes. The Chatham Journal and the Raleigh News and Observer quote residents about their feelings on this project. And as I mentioned, there are 27 homes to be removed, plus five businesses and a church. The one resident named Lena Stone has lived in her home for nearly five decades. And she says that it's appalling to her that she's going to be now be put out in the cold. The Sandifords are another group who have lived on their land for 70 years. No small amount of time. The Raleigh News and Observer reported that Jack Sandiford said to the paper, "They are taking everything we've got." This is his point of view. Now, I realize there are times when land has been seized for projects, such as the building of the Lake Norman Dam, Cowan's Ford Dam. There were homes that were taken at that time, and there were places that ended up underwater at that when they built Lake Norman. However, for one thing, we need to consider a few questions here. When King Cooper, King Roy Cooper I, leads us down this Democratic-led Marxist path, coming out of the White House, Biden-inspired, climate change, electric vehicle-led, lead-the-way project, let us see if we can ask a few questions about what's going on here. I don't know all the answers, but I want to ask some questions. So here are a few that we could ask. Number one, does the law of eminent domain that has been mentioned allow homes, businesses, churches, and land to be taken, even if they're paid for private business use? This is non-governmental. This is not a plant that is going to be owned by North Carolina. It is also not even a dam, which is even co-owned by a utility plant, which utilities have special laws in that govern their interactions with the state. As far as I know, I don't think there are any other private businesses that have special laws that allow them to interact governmentally with the state, like a vehicle manufacturing plant. But in this case, as I said, does this law of eminent domain allow homes, businesses, churches, and land to be taken from private citizens for private business use. That's number one. Number two, does the law of eminent domain allow properties to be taken for a foreign-owned company? This is a Vietnamese company, not an American company. That in itself is shocking. While I became aware that land near the Catawba nuclear power plant on the Catawba River has become owned by a Japanese company that dates all the way back to the 1600s and began with monks, Buddhist monks, I find all these affairs to be shocking. But in this case, we are moving our own people off of their own land and in order for a foreign-owned company to build its company there. And that, I don't understand. That is confusing. Number three, do the people affected have a voice at all? This project was announced last April the 1st to the world in terms of what I see. It was probably announced before that, but this is one of the official announcements from the county. It is 4 months later down the road before the world even hears any of the voices from the property owners, which I'm just now hearing through other channels. The North Carolina Sons of Confederate Veterans ran a link on this, and that's where I first heard about it. I thank them for making the world aware of this. That's a very useful thing to do. But it's already 4 months down the road since the project was officially announced with all the figures, the financial figures already determined, and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, it seems. And we are just now hearing from the voices of the property owners. I find that shocking. But not unheard of in this state. Number four, should the state of North Carolina be conducting this project? The state of North Carolina. And should they be planning it to suit the outer fringes of the capital, the city of Raleigh, which is where it is located, as if they have control of all the areas of this state however they please. It is actually in a different county. This is Chatham County, not Wake. Perhaps part of it is in Wake County. I don't know, but all I'm reading about is Chatham County. That's not Wake County, where Raleigh is located. There are townships involved. Shouldn't the locals be allowed to field questions from foreign buyers and discuss for themselves what should occur in this situation? I am not understanding why King Cooper I and the legislative parliament seem to believe that as long as it's within driving distance, it belongs to them. That's a little strange. Yes, there is an airport in that area. Yes, there is a nuclear power plant in that area. Isn't that convenient? It is well planned, but we forget that there are boundaries of counties, and we forget that citizens count. Actual people with homes and investments and 70-year property ownership, they do matter. Another question about electric SUVs. Number one, why build large sport utility vehicles if you're going to get into the electric vehicle business? Why start with sport utility vehicles, which require obviously a lot of energy, and so therefore they're going to require a lot of electricity compared to small ones. Smaller ones are more feasible, especially given the present state of our electric grid. And they're also more economic for the overall society to be using smaller vehicles. That's one question. Here's question number six. If our people make a major move to electric cars, which the Biden administration has basically said they're going to require, that in this case it will require a plant that will employ as many as, quote, 7,500 workers, unquote. So this is predicted to be a huge plant, apparently, producing many, many vehicles. How will all these vehicles be powered? Where are the working charging stations? Now, I realize there are some around. Most of them are for government vehicles at this point, as far as I know, and I actually live in the Charlotte area. But there are a few randomly here and there. I don't think there are that many, so we're definitely talking and looking at a requirement of needing a greater number of electric charging stations for all of these vehicles that are being predicted to be running the roads. Question number 7. Obviously, we're going to need new nuclear power plants to power electric vehicles in great number. Is that not a given for anyone that has logical sense? Just because you shift from gasoline to electricity does not mean that you're not going to burn energy. For I know nothing of physics, but I do know this one law. I believe it's the number one law, which states that energy is neither created nor destroyed. And so, therefore, it just changes forms. If you have to drive a car down the road, you have to produce enough energy to get that car down the road, whether it's gasoline or whether it's some other kind of energy. It still has to be produced. So, obviously, as I stated, we're going to need new nuclear power plants to power electric vehicles in great number. The largest plant built in North Carolina is the McGuire Nuclear Power Plant near Charlotte. As a matter of fact, I personally happen to be within 25 miles of two nuclear power plants, and there are only 4 in the entire state. Aren't I lucky? Wow. So what happens if we have a meltdown or an enemy drops a bomb? I seem to be sitting right in the target plane of these two nuclear power plants. The McGuire plant near Charlotte, north of Charlotte, generates over 17.5, I believe that's gigawatts per hour. I don't know what that is. GWH, which supplies 44% of our entire state's nuclear generated power. 44% in one plant. And that plant has been there since the 1980s. I think perhaps this late 1970s. One University of California, Berkeley researcher who I read rightfully estimates, and I cannot, I want to give the person credit, but I don't know how to pronounce their name. Abyankar, I believe, is their name. So I'm trying to give them credit. One University of California, Berkeley, researcher rightfully estimates we will need a 100% increase in nuclear power plant production to handle the 2050 electric car goal of majority electric vehicles in America. 100% increase. We now have 61 nuclear power plants in America in 30 states, which is only half, a little more than half of our states that even have one. And we also face a dwindling water base, as we've recently been told that farmers are not going to be allowed to plant as many and as large of fields and crops as they have been out in the West. And we know that water is a major requirement for nuclear power cooling, uranium cooling, keeping it cool so that it doesn't melt down. So that's another consideration. But anyway, if we need a 100% increase in nuclear power plant production to handle the 2050 electric car goal, the McGuire plant costs roughly $4 billion in 2006 dollars, roughly $4 billion to build. It wasn't built in 2006. It was built way before that, but that's a conversion to that dollar amount. There are now 61 nuclear power plants, as I said. We would need roughly 120 plants, if that's true. A number of them may cost as much as $4 billion, like McGuire, to build. So, question, has Governor Roy Cooper planned for the added cost of the nuclear power plant, at least one more, that we are going to now need to add to our 4 statewide plants to produce electricity for these additional cars? There's another $4 billion minimum, probably. So now what happens? So you see how this stuff goes. It's really amazing. We start with destroying people's homes and building farm factories and in a research park that's been envisioned for certainly within the areas of reachable areas of university business and research park. And we already have one of those on the other side of Raleigh, and we have one in Concord, and we have University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and we have others like in the Seaside and Wilmington area. We have other things going on. There's so much to be considered here, and it's not nearly so simple as it appears. There are certainly tons more questions coming from a Governor King who, by edict, willy-nilly removes two state Confederate statues at our capital of North Carolina and lets a third one stay down after being vandalized by a liberal white student that I saw in news video while police didn't interfere. And with the governor ignoring the North Carolina Monuments Law, which clearly states that this act is in violation of a legislative law, which gives only the State Historic Commission the authority to even consider removal. So I guess it's not altogether surprising that we have a governor who would grab homes in order to allow an electric vehicle plant to be built in that's outside of his county using quote-unquote eminent domain laws for a foreign private company. However, it is wrong. I encourage all of us to express our continued disgust with liberal democratic government leaders who, number one, hate their real state, the real state they govern. They hate that state and disrespect it in so many different ways. They surely don't care anything about the history or the thousands and thousands of soldiers who died drafted and having to go to war, whether they liked it or not, who were not fighting for slavery, but because they had to. They hate their real state. And number two, these are government leaders who believe that they are given heavenly powers, I guess, to wield their weapons as they please against anybody who resists their plans or goals. And number three, they care not for people except those that they see with narrow-minded, blinding glasses, mainly future generations of voters. So, this is a highly complex issue. It is a terrible, terrible thing to be considered, and we need to all think about it. And I want to thank the North Carolina Sons of Confederate Veterans again for sharing this information on their Twitter feed and making me aware of it. And I'm sure most people in North Carolina are not even aware of it. So here's another little song to let us go out with today as we consider these issues. And this is Miss Confederate saying goodbye. If you want to contact me, write God's Lisa Rue, GODSLISARU at AOL.com. I hope you will contact me with your thoughts. I'd love to hear your input. Thank you for listening to me, and I hope you continue to listen to what I have to say. Thank you.